Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with my partner, Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
I am doing well. Good morning, sir. I'm excited. We got a lot going on over the next few days. Tomorrow, we're going on a field trip. We're not going to be in the studio tomorrow.
No, we will not.
We're going to be at Cobb Energy Center doing the whole remote mobile unit thing over there for the Entrepreneur Advisors Symposium thing. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. This is my first symposium. You're a veteran. But I've never been there.
That's all right. I make it look easy, and I can get you ramped up. But I tell you, one of the things I'm really excited about, we had that junior achievement show the other day,
right.
And the one lady from that, she's all of what, maybe 15, 16
right.
years old, she's going to come out and help us and maybe even interview some of these entrepreneurs. That's going to be neat.
Yeah, this is our affiliation with JA is one of the things I'm most excited about coming up in the next
Yeah, I'm
few
looking
months.
Forward to that. So we got that, and I think we can get away with golf shirts and jeans at that thing, but we might have to rent a suit or something for this thing next Thursday, this Global Connect deal. What's that all about?
Yeah, the Global Connect thing, I am so excited. It's 38 binational chambers of commerce all in one room. They expect between 1,500 and 2,000 people.
Ay, ay, ay.
And it'll be at the 200 Peachtree, and you know 200 Peachtree, that's the location of our fourth studio that'll be opened in the next month or so. And it's in that beautiful event space they have. And with those chandeliers and that the marble, that is a beautiful place.
That whole thing's going to rock. And we're going to get a shot of you doing your thing on the mic in front of the chandelier.
Exactly.
That's going to be your...
You better get that. That'll be iconic.
That's going to be fun. But not anywhere nearly as powerful, I'm sure, as what we've got going on today. We got a good show ahead of us today. I am delighted to introduce a managing principal for Cressa Partners, Mr. Richard T., and we'll call him Bubba, as most of his friends and family do. Bubba Christmer, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Cressa Partners, what are you guys out there doing for folks?
We 100% exclusively represent tenants on the that side of the transaction. As a tenant rep, we're actually the largest tenant rep only firm in the country. Specializing in just helping the tenant side of the transaction when they're looking to either renew their space, expand, downsize, relocate, whatever it may be, we're representing their interest in the transaction.
Now, can you explain, like, is that's unusual? Most times you're not representing?
Well, a lot of firms are multifaceted firms, and they also represent one of the bigger pieces that they handle are representing the landlord side of the transaction. So we feel like that there could be some conflict there. We're not
throwing
stones.
Reminds me of my first divorce.
Exactly.
You know, the one guy
the divorce
attorney
on both sides.
Ah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And we actually use that example to kind of help throw that out there because it is an important situation. In fact, I heard of something this week where a gentleman had been representing a firm, and he was with one of the full-service firms, and a different firm, and they told him that they could not go forward with him on that because they felt like that he was, you know, it was on both sides of the transaction. His firm was on both sides of the transaction. He was on the tenant rep side, but the landlord was his same firm, and the gentleman felt like it just wasn't going to work, so he felt the sting of that. And we try to, you know, you're always out there selling, and you're trying to have that work for you. We feel like it's a very valid concern, though, and something that we can come and take very objectively, give them objective advice.
Now, are you guys, your real estate guys, your lawyers, you're just really well-read folks that are good people, or what skill set do you bring to the table other than this exclusivity and focus?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably go to law school if I thought I was going to look at this many leases. I mean, I've looked at probably 1,000 leases and read all of them, you know, and so I wish I had that greater skill there. But you do get pretty good at it by reading as many as we do. You know, looking for the pitfalls, all leases are set up to benefit the landlord, not the tenant.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
So it's hard to believe.
Hard to believe that. But that is something that there are pitfalls there. There are things to look for. We work in conjunction with attorneys most time that are on the tenant side and help with that process all the way from the very start where you find the space to button it up with dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's as it relates to the lease itself.
Now, I would imagine that if you had two leases that were negotiated, one by your firm and one by the landlord's firm, your firm is saving the client money. I mean, I would assume that you're going to do a better job advocating for me as a client than somebody that's affiliated with a landlord.
Well, absolutely. In the typical case, you have a landlord rep that's representing the landlord and their interest, and rightfully so. And that's fine because they need someone to, you know, they don't have the asset manager. The asset manager may be in another town, and they have this leasing person
right.
that's trying to get the space lease, you know. But what with us representing exclusively the tenant, we're able to know what's market for the most part. Our company does over 200 deals every year.
Wow.
In multiple markets. So we know the market from that standpoint. So we're able to push kind of every lever that we can and all the different financial components of the lease. There's some things that are, you know, like rate and free rent and, you know, tenant improvement allowances and so forth. But there are a lot of other subtle items that you can negotiate that over time can create a fairly significant financial savings.
So what's the market right now? Is it a buyer's market, if that's the right term, or a seller?
Very tenant-oriented market right now. Tenant-oriented market, yes. It is a leasee's market. It's kind of like, I use the expression, it's kind of like, you know, the 4% mortgage. I mean, it's a great time to be a home buyer if you know
right.
what you want and you got the money. It's rates are as low as they've probably ever been and may ever be. And that's kind of where it is with tenant being a tenant right now. One of the things we've seen over this 2007-2008 downturn is that a lot of tenants, unfortunately, didn't know what their future was well enough to be able to take advantage of it. Now, rocking along the bottom a little bit and seeing a little bit of an uptick, possibly, we're all optimistic, you know, they're able to find that, you know what, I know it's not going to get any worse than this, and so I can plan for the next 3 to 5 to 7 years, and you take advantage of some real attractive economic incentives.
Now, is there a situation where, like, how far out do I, if I have a lease, how far out do I engage you? Is it something like, oh, it's going to come up next month that I call you? Or is it like a year out or 2 years out?
Yeah.
When do I call you?
Well, you know, right now, because of the market, anytime you have these market turns like we've experienced the last several years, with a lot of tenants that were engaged their lease maybe 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years, a little bit more of a peak for the landlord, they have escalated their rents to above market rents. So compared to today's rents, they're much higher.
Right, I'm overpaying now.
You're
right?
Overpaying. So when you say, you know, a year, 2 years, now that's very much so. Before, when the market's a little bit greater equilibrium, you would not maybe go out more than six months to a year to start this process, depending on the size
mm-hmm.
and the status of the market. But right now, that's how we're able to say we're doing so much in the 1 year to really almost up to 3 years. We finished a law firm at the end of last year, Kevin Creel in my office, and I worked with a law firm. They had almost 4 years left, and we started that process, gave back 5,000 feet, and renegotiated the deal, dropped their rate $6 a foot, and so they were immediately and they enjoyed those savings right away.
So I would have some leverage, even though I have years left on my lease?
Depending on the size and also the status of the situation in that building. In that particular building, it was very important for that landlord to secure that tenant. And so what we're having a lot more of a challenge than I've been doing this 26 years. And so early on, you weren't as tuned in as to what the landlord financial status and condition was. But with the CMBS loans and some of the things that are going on with the landlords, it can be very, very important for them to make a transaction at a certain time. And when we know that, then we're able to get that tenant that much better deal.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of mistakes do amateurs make, or people that don't take advantage of having somebody with your expert counsel? What kind of pitfalls, traps? You probably see some of the same things over and over again.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's very few people. Quite honestly, Atlanta's fortunate. It's a very highly represented market. I mean, I would think it's over 95% of the people do find someone to help them
really?
Through that process. But there are those that feel like they can do it on their own. There might be some savings. And you know, would they get a good deal? They very possibly could get a good deal. Did they get the best deal? That's the thing. When we go through the process, and the way we go through the process over an extended period of time, we find, and we also find that if you don't really show that you may have one foot out the door, you're probably not going to get the best deal, even when we're going through the process. If they meet in the water fountain and say, you know, I'm really looking forward to getting this wrapped up to stay here, we have just lost a lot of leverage.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's
when we start
to
sweat a little bit. Yeah, so you know, just don't act as excited about whatever you think you're going to do. We have to play a little bit of, a little poker face.
So yeah. how do you hire someone, though? Because you're not the only game in town. So
absolutely.
So if you're me and you're 6 months out, or whatever, and you're thinking, you know what, I'm going to do it right this time. I'm going to get a Bubba, somebody in here. But what kind of questions should I be asking someone like you, or what kind of things should I have in mind when I'm beginning to make the decision of maybe engaging somebody like you?
Typically, that's when I go by Richard, because I know if I got a little bit tougher chance if they say I'm going to go by Bubba. But I want to get a Bubba. But, you know, quite honestly, it's really we find that someone in your situation, Stone, that would be looking at that is to I think, you know, it's going to be a long process. And I think there has to be a little bit of chemistry there, a little connection.
If you don't like the guy, that's flag number
one. Why do it? There's plenty
right.
of people out there that can help you.
Because you're going to be working together a lot, right?
A lot. There's a lot of phone calls. You're calling at night. You know, you're calling on the weekends. There's a lot of back and forth that cover as many details as we've got to cover. So that's one thing I think, you know, but there's a lot of great people in our business, so that may not be that hard to find. But there's what we offer, I think, and what some firms that we compete with offer are multiple layers of services, you know, from not that many, quite honestly, offer a level of project management service that we offer that helps with the build out and helps with the programming and helps with the move relocation, buying furniture, a lot of different things that we're able to bring to bear. I used to handle this before the idea of project management, before we had that service. And we would get the lease signed, cross all the T's, dot all the I's.
And you'd be, see ya.
You would say, hey, I hope we get to come to the open house. Right. You know, we'll see you there. And you're wondering, how the heck did they get it all done?
Right.
And so we offer that, but we also offer just a tenacious attitude of being in there and providing that tenant with a
kind of turnkey, it seems, that you guys are covering all your everything that I would need as someone moving in.
Absolutely. And I think it's important too that you're with somebody that you know knows the market, you know, that's doing a lot of deals. I think the deal velocity of someone that you're talking to that's doing a lot is with a group. Like our group is very collaborative, so it's not just what I know, but it's what the other 20 of us know, and then we collaborate on that on a weekly basis. So you're getting the benefit of almost like 20 people. I also work in our group with a team. So we've got three other individuals on our team, and so and everybody has varying strengths, and we feel like that brings that much more to bear to the client. So I think there's some things that you can look at and find out. Okay, what am I getting from the service? Because basically, there are, as you know, our fees are paid for by the landlord.
Right. So it's nothing really out of my pocket.
Not out of the pocket.
Just get absorbed. Yeah. By what I'm going to pay.
Actually, I did not know that, but I know it now.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it. Yeah. So the landlord is paying your fee.
That's correct. Well, it's an interesting thing that we say in the real estate business. Is
wow.
You would be my client, Stone, and yet, by definition, you're not paying me, so that's not true. The client would be the landlord.
Right.
Could we apply this to some other industries? That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Like buying a car or anything like that. How about that?
That's a nice trick. But I have a question. Like, when you're working with somebody in the high turnover now, it seems like buildings are getting bought and sold.
Right.
So now, how does that impact me as I just moved in there? And now I thought there were a certain owner, and now there's a new owner who's got a different objective with the property. Are you able to help us in that area?
Well,
or once the deal's done, you're kind of done?
I mean, it's kind of, in a lot of ways, it's kind of done if you've got the lease, that instrument. And so that's why we take such, a long time and a tenacious attitude in trying to negotiate that to the best that we can for the tenant. Because, you know, things such as subordination and non-disturbance agreements are vital for a tenant of good size. If that were to change and they were to come in and say, you know what, I know you guys got a great deal when you came in here. We're the new sheriff in town, and we're going to change the deal to $5 higher because the market's changed. You know, we're a new owner and we can do that, you know, and, the subordination non-disturbance kind of gives you that quiet enjoyment in the space that you will be protected on that. And that's not as easy to get for a 3,000 foot tenant, but,
I bet we don't have that.
No, we don't have that. But the larger ones,
that's very important.
They have some leverage.
That's very important to have. And, you know, before you go into some of the things that we're experiencing now, when a tenant might have a really terrific deal in a building that is somewhat questionable in ownership, might be going to a special servicer, might, you know, be in limbo a little bit, may have not totally foreclosed on. But, you know, it's like, how can we protect ourselves? When we're going in those situations, we try to have our tenant improvement allowances escrowed so that regardless of what happens to that owner, we know, because we made that commitment to go to that space, that those dollars are going to be there.
Still there, right?
That's right.
So how do you go to market? It's going to be a non-issue now that you've been on Atlanta Business Radio, but prior to today, you've had to get the word out and talk to people. How do you guys go to market?
Well, we do a lot of just out and about. We do drip marketing with some of the things that we have, some of the tools. I know you've met Paula Fowler. She's done a tremendous job for us and helping us capitalize on the things that we have. Cresta is a national company. We've got 54 offices around the country. So we have marketing materials that we're able to use. We do a tenant guide that comes out every 3 months that kind of gives the status of the market and that we drip market our clients and prospects. We do the old fashioned, out there knocking on doors, as a part of it. It's a little bit of everything, quite honestly. It's people, it's referrals, business. There's probably not a better way to go about it than doing a superb job for one of your clients and they think that it's great and they tell someone else.
That's the best sales tool in the world.
Absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
Just doing good work.
Happy customers.
Absolutely. No question.
Now, when you mentioned a law firm earlier, is it something that when you do law firms and maybe you've done several different law firms, that when a new law firm approaches you, there's a lot of kind of been there, done that you know some of the pitfalls because you've done several of them, where this individual law firm, it's only their firm, so they don't know the breadth of knowledge about this as you do? Is that?
That's very true. I mean, there's a lot of benchmarking that can be done. Mm-hmm. Not only what's great about having this national exposure is that we have best practices that we can go and take advantage of all over the country. For example, just as you said, a law firm, one of our strong senior brokers down in Miami has done just a tremendous amount of jobs or actual transactions with law firms. And so we're able to, we were putting together what we call a dashboard, trying to put together for our presentation. And so we had some questions that we wanted to think about that we could talk to them from a prospecting standpoint. And so we called her up and she had just tons of questions and things because she has done so many of them, right? Exactly.
And they would have different needs than if a medical office, like if it was a medical practice, would have totally different needs.
Absolutely. That vertical market thing, there's a lot to say and a lot of experience that, again, from the benchmarking standpoint, just to say some better best practices in their arena, in their vertical market that you can capitalize on and help them with.
And there's so much that that the tenant just doesn't know. Like they don't know this, that if you have a lot of knowledge about this vertical, stuff, little kind of teeny stuff that could be huge stuff down the road.
That's
right?
Correct. There's a lot of smart people, a lot smarter than us that are on the other side of the transaction, but there's always that saying that you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So we're able to bring to bear some things that we see a lot. I mean, we're doing it every single day. We live and breathe it. And we're seeing these different circumstances happen all over the country. And so we're able to get out in front of that. So much of it is trying to protect, to manage the expectations of our clients. And so how can we do that? We need to know of all the surprises. We have not done a good job if there are a bunch of surprises through this process. There are things that happen that are unexpected. I will tell you that that only happens on a weekly basis. But but it is. But you protect against that as much as you can because it's a fluid deal, right? It's a fluid market, and
you've got
a space. And this what's really interesting is that in this market where there's 20%+ vacancy, there are situations right now in Buckhead where not only are other tenants vying for that same space, that there are other brokers in our office that have clients that are vying for that same space. It's kind of unique.
Well, what I find really attractive about this is you bring in a Bubba, and if we run into something you've never seen before, you've got 20+ people you can talk to that day in your office or make one of 54 phone calls. Absolutely. Somebody's run into this and has nailed it. And that to me, that's very attractive.
Absolutely. No, that is it is a good feeling. It's one of the things that I was with Trammell Crow Company before they were rolled up under CBRE, and one of the things, one of the ideas at that time was, well, maybe I'll go back and do my own business because I had my own business before that. But this was the best of both worlds. We can be small enough. My other partners, I own the Atlanta office, and so it's kind of like your little rowboat, but you're also part of a huge ship,
right?
A fleet, if you will, and so you're able to take advantage of that. So you whether your client needs just 5,000 feet in the perimeter center market, or they need 20 deals done across the country, you can get that done.
So I would imagine that specific ways that if somebody wanted to save some money, that they can call you and you could probably help them save some money today.
No question. And we're doing that every single day. and we're looking to how we can do that, work with the it's a timing situation. A lot of times it's understanding the motivations of the landlord. It's looking at all different facets, not just the obvious either, you know, not just the rental rate, but a lot of it's timing, understanding where that landlord's position is. We talked a little bit earlier, where they are in their a loan situation, and you know, that we're able to use the market to help structure a better deal for them and save considerable dollars, not just that first year, but throughout the term of the
right.
lease.
And it might not, like, you know, you always want to be able to say that, hey, we're willing to walk and leave the building. But sometimes you can say, you know, if the person really doesn't want to leave, you can probably kind of come up with creative ways to keep them there and still save money, right?
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. And that law firm example I gave you, talked to a little bit ago, I mean, we gave back 4,500, 5,000 feet, you know. And the landlord wasn't thrilled about it, obviously, but they said, you know, it's better than losing them. It's better than and we need to make this deal. And having this, if we can capitalize on this rent stream 5 years additional in the future, that's a good deal for us,
right,
too. So that you try to get that win-win situation. I mean,
sure.
The win-lose doesn't work too long. I mean,
yeah.
and you know, when you want the light bulbs changed and things like that, you don't want to get
exactly.
them just sideways in there. So.
Well, that's the other thing. As much as you, because you guys really are in this market, you're well-known, you're well-respected, the landlords in town respect you
right.
as well. You've earned a degree of respect that gives you some latitude that Joe Fly-By-Night guy is not going to have.
Absolutely. A lot of great people in our business, and we have really good, tremendous relationships with people on the other side, the people that represent the landlords, and they're used to seeing us and they're used to our program. And I think if we do it as a true licensed real estate professional, we do it and we operate in a professional manner, then they respect that, and they know that we're trying, we have realistic expectations and requests to make the best deal possible.
These guys, they make friends all over town. They've got this Tech America thing through TAG. You want to speak to that a little bit and get
sure.
us caught up on that? Because there's an event associated
right.
with that, right?
I think they help with continuing education.
We love the TAG guys. Yeah,
it's been a tremendous thing. Paula Fowler in our office, as I mentioned earlier, has just done a tremendous job with that and securing different roundtables. And in fact, we've got one coming up August 16th, a TAG Tech America Financial Roundtable. 7:30 in the morning to 9 o'clock on August 16th, and the topic of this particular session will be the data security. And you mentioned CPE credit,
yeah.
And it's an hour and a half of that credit as well. And if you want to sign up, it's the email address is kate@tagonline.org.
Yeah. The TAG, they do great work over
they
there.
Really do. I think you should go to that at 7:30 in the morning. We'll
more
never
education.
Get you there.
Yeah.
More education.
You need a buck and a half CPEs or whatever
right.
they call it, CEs.
We co-sponsor that with Haber, Ferragutti, and Wynn, by the way.
Very nice. So seems like very rewarding work. What do you find the most rewarding, and what do you find a little bit challenging, if not sometimes downright frustrating in your work?
Well, I only have to go back to yesterday in terms of what's frustrating and actually what's rewarding. What's frustrating is we control nothing. We absolutely control nothing. I can tell you, Stone, this is what's going to happen as best I can tell, but I absolutely control nothing. And so that can be frustrating. We had a deal pretty much bottled up, and all of a sudden the landlord said, you know what, we want a considerable amount of additional security to securitize this lease. And that has never been talked about this whole process.
At the last minute?
Right. We've already signed our lease. And it's like we're waiting for them to execute it. And this is an existing tenant. I mean, I've just never, in 26 years, never had that happen. So
wow.
Is that frustrating? Yes, because, you know, we've already covered all this, and yet it's still...
He went to some negotiating seminar over the weekend.
That's right.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Let's see if we can do this. You know, let's see if we can get this guy really ticked off. You know, and all that works. If he wants to create that stir, that's what he's done. But, you know, on the other side of the coin, it's rewarding to be able to help somebody out, and they feel like, you know what, I'm also helping a good friend right now, a friend of mine. We've grown up with their children, and my kids have grown up with their children, and he's looking to find space in Buckhead. And, you know, every time we don't have two phone calls where he doesn't say, you know what, hey, I appreciate all you're doing for me. I appreciate it. I mean, boy, thanks. Thanks
yeah,
for that.
I'm
and
sure.
that's a rewarding thing, because I feel like, you know, he doesn't know this arena. He knows his arena
right,
really,
exactly.
really well. And he's a lot smarter than me. But in this arena, I know that we can help him get the best deal possible, and that's rewarding.
Now, I'm sure you have relationships with people that last decades, right? Over
Absolutely.
The years.
I used to sell telephones and work for Xerox when I first got out of school and after working at the University of Georgia for a year. But, you know, one of the things there was that you would sell a phone system and that was it. I mean, you know, they probably had that phone system another 10, 15, 20
right.
years. You know, you never see them again, and they had service to handle that after that. But this is great because you actually build that relationship with the client. You know, they become very good friends a lot of times, the guys you play golf with, go to dinner with. Get to know their families. I've been to weddings. You know, I mean, you know, it's really rewarding in that sense. And so in essence, when the lease is 5 years, you know, 3.5 years from now, you're not only are you talking to them in between that, but they're having needs again in that three
right.
and a half, 4 year time frame, and that is talking about rewarding. That's extremely rewarding to be able to do it over and over and help them over and over again.
Every lease is an opportunity for you to serve that client.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
They should never just kind of re-up without. Talking to you, right?
Great point, Lee. I mean, that's exactly right. We try to keep that in the forefront of their minds because it's easy sometimes because you want them to get to know the landlord well and you want them, but you don't want it too close to where they just go, hey, you know, I need 2,000
yeah,
feet.
Yeah, just sign that again.
Yeah, just
right.
sign again. Whoa. You could have got that sounded like a good deal, but it's not,
right.
you know, and so that's where we like to be in there and jump in on a continual basis.
This roundtable thing that they talked about gives me an idea. What do you think about having Bubba and maybe Richard and maybe Paula Fowler here, but maybe also a landlord and a delighted tenant client? Do you think that would be an interesting show?
I don't know, Bubba. You think they'd come in here with you?
We might be able to twist some arms. Finding the right people, you could absolutely.
That might be a very interesting show, though, huh?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I found this incredibly informative. You probably knew all this stuff since you negotiated the lease here at the studio. But we want studios all over the country, so
right.
we got to learn this stuff, man.
Exactly.
So how do our listeners learn more? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you and learn more about this and maybe have a substantive conversation and see if it makes sense to engage you guys?
Well, our offices are right there in Buckhead, but you can go on online with CrestPartners.com and look at us as it relates to Atlanta. We're in Buckhead in the Prominence Building, 3475 Piedmont Road. You know, apart from giving you our phone number.
What's
the
website?
www.crestpartners.com.
Crestpartners.com, mm-hmm. And then they can find the Atlanta office.
Right.
And then just howl at the moon and say,
that's it.
Bubba. Bubba will come to the rescue.
That's right. I'm the only Bubba in the office as far as anybody wants to call me. I believe me, I take all calls.
That's hard to believe.
I get called a lot worse than that, but I will answer to that for sure.
You're the only Bubba in an Atlanta office of 20 partners? I find that difficult to believe.
That's
Do
true.
We have like a Cletus or a John Ebb or anybody? No.
We have some others, but and some get called Bubba just, but they didn't take it as far, unfortunately, as I had to.
All right. Great, Stone. Great show. Learned a lot. And I think that wraps it up.
That was fun. That we did learn a lot. And I want to have him back. I want to do some kind of show with a client, too.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Good stuff. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We are out of here, and we will see you all next week on the Atlanta Business Radio Show.